August blends and queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello and welcome to Rebellion Radio, episode number dos. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Volva.
I'm Alina Thomas.
And I'm Igor Grisanti.
And welcome back. Last week was our very first episode, and we are still collecting feedback, so we'll read some of that off next week.
Yes, and as we can tell, we now have two girls.
Yes. Oh, really? Do we? Yes. Oh my God, we do.
So,
Alina and April.
Out. Yeah, so please, introduce yourselves.
Yes, please.
Yes, well, I'm Alina. I'm from Southern California, and I first got into the books just because it's not that exciting. I just saw a bunch of other people reading them, and I love to read, so I was like, okay, I'll check them out. And I read them, and I basically read it. I had to go to promotion, and I read it while the senior speeches were going on because I was so bored, and I was, like, dying to know what was happening. So I read it in under, like, 12 hours, and ever since then I love the books, except for I hate Mockingjay, but that doesn't count. So, yeah, that's basically me.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so April, tell us a little about yourself.
Okay, then. I'm 14, and I'm from Connecticut. And as we all know, Connecticut would be underwater. So, I'm from District 10 now. Woohoo! Animals! Yeah. I'm the one out of all of us who probably read the books the latest. Actually, no, I am the one who read the books the latest, because I just read them last year. So, I didn't think I was gonna like them, so I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna try it. So I did, and obviously I liked them, because I'm on this podcast. So yeah, I'm probably the one least disappointed in Mockingjay, because there was no build-up to this ending, like most people. So, yeah, I think that's it.
All right, that's perfect.
So let's just jump right into the episode this week.
Alex, can you tell the listeners what the topic of the week is?
Well, topic of the week is movie madness.
We're going to discuss the actresses and actors playing the main characters as well as the directing position. So, Jennifer Lawrence as Katniss Everdeen, the coveted role. Yes. Now, what do you guys think of this? I mean, people have been rumoring about who would play this role for months and months and months. And finally, Jennifer Lawrence has been picked. Now, she was in Winter's Bone, as many people know, and she got nominated for Best Actress. And she was recently in X-Men First Class as Mystique. Now, have you guys seen any of these movies?
Actually, I've seen X-Men First Class, and I actually have seen bits and pieces of Winter's Bone. And okay. I've got to say, her acting in both are phenomenal.
I have to agree.
I mean, okay, I'm just going to say this up front. Jennifer Lawrence, I'm in love with you. You're a great actress. You're very, very good looking. And, yeah, I mean, she originally I was a bit wary because, yeah, she's a pretty face. She has some acting experience, but she has blonde hair. But guess what? Unlike Percy Jackson with Annabeth, they dyed her hair.
That yeah, so they dyed her hair.
She looks amazing and with hair. I like
she
that.
Looks absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. If you guys have seen Winter's Bone, basically for those who haven't seen Winter's Bone, she has to go through like the backwoods of Hicksville fighting off like random rednecks to find her father. And when she finds her father dead, she has to cut off his like hand in order to bring it to the police, proving he's dead.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If anybody can play Katniss, it is Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, I saw X-Men First Class, and she is great as Mystique, and I'm not going to lie, she is hot.
Very hot.
I think...
Even Blue.
Yes, and I think... Yeah, Blue. She, even as Mystique, she was... I haven't seen Winter's Bone yet. It's on my Netflix queue, though, so... yeah, I'm personally very satisfied with this decision.
Yes, there is no more perfect role than Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, really, before this, I was like, well, nobody really seems thinning. This works.
Yeah. So what about you guys?
I'm afraid to say that I am really not a movie person. I hardly ever watch movies. If I do, I usually rewatch, like, Harry Potter or something. So Elena. I hardly ever watch movies. If I do, it's only if, like, 50,000 people bug me to watch them. So I have not seen either of these movies, but I have heard people say things, like, just like you have, about, you know, her being a fantastic actress. And I have no doubt that she has the presence necessary to play Katniss. My only concern, especially initially, is that she is, like you guys said, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. She is very attractive, and she's, like, on, like, what is it? I think she was on, like, Victoria's Secret's, like, 100 most sexy people or something list.
Ooh, yep. Really?
So,
I'll have to check that
and
out.
And that... and that's... My only problem is that, of course, it's Hollywood, but she... I first see her, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. She's, like, how old is she? Like, 25? 26?
No. She's, like, 9... She's, like, 20,
yeah,
right?
She's, like, 20-ish.
She's
early 20s.
I think she's, like, 20.
I'm gonna look it up.
She's mid-20s, I believe. But
hold up. I'm looking at it.
I'm sorry, Elena. You cannot take us out of our hormone-fueled rage.
So, that was my only
problem.
She's 20. Is that she... I think that she can pull it off, but the whole point of the Hunger Games, the reasons that they're so disgusting and terrible, is that they're children. And I think that if they all the cast looks like they're adults, it's going to take away that factor of people thinking, oh my gosh, well, it's terrible, because it's horrible, because that's the most horrible thing. But I do see why they cast her. I'm just hoping that they can make her look a little younger and age her down. That's why I was hoping they would choose somebody else. I was hoping for, Hailee Steinfeld, which
saw. Yeah, she was in True Grit, wasn't she?
I just saw, what's that movie called?
True Grit. Yeah.
True Grit.
She was amazing in that, and I was like, oh, I really hope they cast her, but they didn't. Yeah. But,
Jennifer Lawrence,
I'm holding out my judgment until after I see the movie.
And yeah, well, of course.
Obviously, but, you know, because there are some people who, like, once they saw that it was her, they were like, oh my gosh, how dare they? That's horrible. I'm not seeing the movie. And I'm like, yeah, right, you're going to see the movie.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Well, I understand your, Elena, I understand your point of view, but maybe it's just us East Coasters, but how she looks as Katniss, yeah, there's 16-year-olds at my school who look that mature. She seems age-appropriate enough.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, April, can you just say what you think about her, and then I'll get with
her. Okay, so, when I first saw that she was cast, I didn't really like her. Like, I hadn't seen any of her movies, but I didn't exactly like the look of her. But then, after she dyed her hair, and they had all those pictures in Entertainment Weekly, I was like, she looks amazing, she's perfect, she'll nail it, whatever. And, she may be 20, but the point of Katniss is supposed to be mature for her age as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I know we would like to have, like, a younger actress in this role, but honestly, it's hard, like, good child actors are really hard to come by, and I think they can make it work. I mean, if they make her seem too mature, like mid-30s or whatever, I mean, they're not going to do that, but, I mean, a lot of actors and actresses in Hollywood and actors and all that, they play roles that are a lot younger than them, and it's, like, that for a reason. Because, like, kids can't really act, you know.
And we also have to remember, people are like worried, oh my god, they're going to have all of them being played by adults. There is still going to be Rue. No matter what happens, there is still going to be Rue. She's still being played by like a 12-year-old.
And I love that casting.
Yes, and we will still be in shock when she dies. It will still be an incredibly effective scene. No matter the age of the other actors, that will tie it into how serious this actually is.
Yeah,
agreed.
Definitely.
So, let's move on to the next casting decision. Josh Hutcherson as Peter Mallark, and he's known for Bridge of Terabithia and The Kids Are All Right, which was also nominated for Academy Awards. I also know him from, what's that?
Sethera?
He was in that,
wasn't he?
No. Yeah, maybe.
He was in Little Manhattan.
What was the one with the... Oh, yeah, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
He was in that
wonderful piece of filmmaking.
Wasn't he in, Oh, never mind, sorry. I'm getting confused. But
yeah, so he's in a lot of these kid movies. I don't know. He looks the part, I think. What do you guys think of him?
Yeah.
First impressions.
Josh definitely looks a lot more boyish, I'd say, which is good for Peter's role since he's supposed to be more innocent. I mean, I want to see him with his blonde hair, although it wouldn't piss me off too much if he didn't have blonde hair, because I'm a guy and don't really care how he looks. Yes, yeah, I've heard it's been dyed. Yeah, I just haven't seen pictures.
It's like a dirty blondish brown, and they might have done it later, but they can't exactly fry his hair. So,
right, and
I'm satisfied with the way that he looks.
Yeah,
yeah. He looks great for the role, and I have seen Terabithia, and I just got The Kids Are All Right on Netflix in the mail, so I guess I'll be watching that soon. But he is a very good actor. He makes movies that I like. I will say I like Bridge to Terabithia. Not really the book, but it was a good movie. And I've seen him just do other things. And he's just a really likable, charismatic guy. And that's who PETA needs to be. And so I'm all for this casting decision.
Yeah, I'm with you. When I first heard about it, I was like, I don't know. But I think that, I mean, I saw an interview with him on, what was it? Some person. I don't remember what his name is. I don't watch TV ever, but I saw an interview with him, and he is PETA. PETA's supposed to be very charismatic and very likable, and he is, and he's just, like, being himself on there, and he's very charming, and so I think, without him even acting, he's got that down, and I think because when I first heard about it, the only movie of his that I've really seen was Bridge of Terabithia, and I was like, he was like 8 in that, and I couldn't really get that out of my head. But I've grown to like him more and more. So now I'm happy about the casting. So I'm excited to see him in that.
Yeah, me too. I really didn't like him, but so everything has to do with appearance, right? Like, if they don't look the part, I'm not gonna like them. Like, whether they act or not, and I don't care. So at first I was like, he's brunette. Why are they?
I've seen Bridge of Terabithia. Unfortunately, I was in the airplane. I was in a bad mood, and all I remember was seeing him like hitting on the teacher. I'm like, that is weird.
All I remember is the fact that Leslie dies. Leslie
the
dies.
The book was dreadful, and so was the movie. I hated that.
I really don't. That was the only movie that made me cry.
I really don't like the book. Because really, I don't feel the book has a purpose, but for some reason, the movie just works.
We're going off topic.
Let's move on.
I'm sure he'll be fine. Yeah. The next decision is one I'm personally very excited about.
Oh, me too. Oh my god, this is awesome.
For my favorite character of the whole series, Woody Harrelson will be playing Haymitch Abernathy, and he's known for his work on Zombieland 2012, Natural Born Killers, and Cheers.
Yes!
Now let me just start off by saying...
Oh my god! Yes, this guy is awesome!
I know. Woody Harrelson, first of all, when you look at him, you think drunk, crazy.
And will probably stab you.
No.
And I know him most from Zombieland.
Yeah, same.
And he nails that. He's a redneck. He's like drunk the whole movie.
He's really shotguns.
The whole movie, he's like looking for like Twinkies.
What?
And he just has great comedic timing, and
yes. Woody Harrelson,
he also plays a crazy guy on 2012. He's this like conspiracy theorist, and I think he's gonna nail it. He looks the part. He's a great actor, and I have complete faith in him.
Woody Harrelson, I only just discovered him recently, but he really is a great actor. Like Hurley, I first saw him in Zombieland, and I was just taken back by his role. I mean, anybody who can simultaneously kill zombies and be like that addicted to Twinkies is awesome in my books. And if any of you listeners, hopefully above the age of like 17, have seen Natural Born Killers, he literally spends the entire movie killing people. That sounds like Haymitch, or at least, you know, how his character would act. I know a lot of people, I'm pretty sure the two girls in this podcast, are going to be going, but this is not how we imagined him. He doesn't look the part. Well, you know what? But you know what? He doesn't look the exact part. I actually imagine him as one of the characters from the first season of Heroes, but that's besides the point. But I know he can play the character, and I have total faith in this. This may be, besides Jennifer will always be the best. But besides Jennifer, this is definitely my favorite casting decision.
Alex hearts Jennifer.
Yes, I do. Give me a call, Jennifer, if you decide to listen to this.
So, Elena, April, what do you guys think about this?
I don't know any of these movies, so just skip me.
All right, April.
I was forced to watch 2012 in Science Once. I don't know where he was in that movie.
Okay, well, 2012
he
is
was
a very
the guy
bad
in the trailer.
Oh, he was the guy in the trailer?
He was the guy in the trailer
the
with
crazy
the...
Dude?
The crazy dude, yes.
Oh my god, I hate that movie.
Oh, come on.
It scared the crap out of me.
Terrible
okay.
movie.
It looks like crap.
It's scary. I did not want to watch that movie by my time. Anyway, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I just lost my train of thought now. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I can't...
Do you like him or
no,
not?
Because I really hoped they would cast Robert Downey Jr. and the guy from House.
Oh, man.
Wait, Robert Downey Jr.? That's not from House?
No, or the guy from House.
That's
Iron Man. His name is. What's his name?
I wanted him.
They actually
I thought he would be great.
They actually asked Hugh Laurie, but he tried to turn it down because he was doing something else, apparently. And I was hoping he would be one of them. I think anybody can probably pull off a drunk guy, so I'm not really...
I could.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. Prove my point. So I really don't care about the acting part. It's just, it's an experience. I don't imagine an image like that.
Told ya.
I would have to agree. Robert Downey Jr. would be great because he is like the play. Well, he also is drunk all the time, but he would. First of all, he's like occupied
he
shooting
have
the Avengers.
Yeah. That role.
Yeah. He's occupied shooting the Avengers and Iron Man, and he's really occupied with Marvel.
Right.
And also, like adding him to the cast would like it would be very expensive to cast
mm-hmm,
him.
Definitely.
So
I mean, sort
I
of
think
like
Woody Harrel-
B- has surprisingly
B-list-star,
big
B-list-star,
budget.
Star A minus star B list star B list star. I mean, having Robert Downey Jr. as much as Haymitch is supposed to be like a standout character, it would be way too standout. It's like all the advertisements would be like, "We have Robert Downey Jr."
Yeah, I don't want them to. Yeah, he seems too much of a pop
but
icon.
Woody Harrelson is better than the other guy that was supposedly talked to play.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It turns out he wasn't
John
really
C. Riley?
Asked to do it. Mm-hmm. He had no idea
apparently,
what he was talking about.
Apparently, but I was not... I was like, if that guy gets cast, I will not
yes.
be happy.
Wait, John,
yeah, John
C. Riley?
Riley?
Horrible.
No.
Horrible.
That would have been a horrible decision. I'm so glad
wait,
that he...
are you guys talking about John C. Riley?
Yeah,
or
that's
yeah,
who
John
we're talking
C.
about.
Wait, was he... I think he's someone...
Turns out he was never talked to about this at all, so he has no idea what...
Okay, so... Yes, so we're done with that. Hey, Mitch, I'm excited. Maybe others, not so much, but... Gale Hawthorne will be played by Liam Hemsworth from our favorite movie, The Last Song. Yay!
I'm actually really sad and embarrassed to admit that I have seen this movie.
Oh my god,
and
no.
When I first,
Elena,
when
say
I first,
it so.
Let me explain myself. When I first discovered that he was going to be cast, I was not happy. I was not happy at all. He looks like he's like 40 years old, but... After seeing The Last Song, I had to watch it. It was a family thing. I couldn't get out of it. I didn't want to watch it, believe me. But after seeing The Last Song, that Liam Hemsworth carries that movie. I'm sorry for any possible Miley Cyrus fans out there, but she, if it wasn't for Liam Hemsworth, that movie would have been complete crap. I mean, it was already crap, but with him, it was only crap, without complete crap. So he made it okay. So... Watching that movie made me feel a little bit better about him, but I'm still not ecstatic about him, though.
Okay, Elena, okay. I speak for everyone when I say I have not seen The Last Song. Therefore, I will take your word for it. I mean, just
okay,
based on pure...
No.
Based on pure appearance, yeah, he looks a bit older than everybody else, and frankly, this is me nitpicking based on how I imagine a character. He doesn't really have the seam look. But you know what? The casting director's already done a great job, and you know what? I'm sure he'll do great, too. I mean,
I completely have no fate for this man. Let me tell you why. Here's the big reason why I do not like this guy. When you look at him, I think that he looks not offensive to him, but he just looks dumb, okay? And Gale is supposed to be very smart, but Liam Hemsworth really looks just like a tool, you know? Like, just look at it.
I do understand that. I do understand
that. You're judging him by his appearance.
I'm just saying, it's a very, like, I don't see anything in his eyes. There's nothing, he's not thinking anything.
You should probably look at that picture that I just put on the outline.
Yeah, I mean, he was in the last song.
You'd be surprised. I found his acting besides Miley Cyrus's dad or whatever. Not her actual dad. The character's dad. He was good at acting, but basically the two main characters were Miley Cyrus and him, and he made that movie bearable.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm being too harsh on him.
So
once again, Elena, we'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting down to watch the last song just so I can overanalyze Liam Hemsworth's acting.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
Yeah, we'll have to see how well he performs.
No,
yeah, April, have you seen the last song?
No, but I actually found the book in my chorus room once, so I took it. But I didn't read it, so...
I heard it's a good book.
I heard it's a really sad
book. I'm sure it is, but...
Did
it, apparently. Okay, basically every Nicholas Sparks book ends in death.
It does.
Or at least one person dies.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so Elizabeth Banks is playing Effie Trinket, and she's known for her role on 30 Rock, which I watch, and she was also George W. Bush's wife in W. So what do you guys think about this?
Yay!
You know, I don't have too much experience with Elizabeth Banks in terms of acting.
Experience with her?
Oh, okay. Experience of her.
Move on.
Yeah, great, thanks. Thanks,
Ron. Move on.
But I haven't seen a lot of her acting. She looks the part. And really that difficult to put on an orange wig and go, may the odds ever be in your favor.
Yeah, well, they gotta get someone good to deliver that line,
right.
So...
And make it not sound stupid with the Hunger Games accent, or the capital
accent. She has, what, like 5 lines the entire movie?
Right?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. But I think she does look the part.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
That's all that matters with her role, really.
Yeah. She's pretty funny in 30 Rock, which I watch, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think she looks the part. That's all I know.
Even her costume, any of the she looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Donald Sutherland as President Snow. Now, this is one casting decision that I was looking out for, personally. Because you got to get someone with the menace. You know, who would be evil enough to make these games, to pass them on? And they got Donald Sutherland, which is a really old guy. He looks the part.
Well, he's... He was in Dirty Sexy Money, which was
oh, that was
sort of
awesome
good,
show.
Popular.
Really great.
That was great.
I know, I've never seen it.
But yay, Dirty awesome Sexy show. Money.
It says he was on MASH, but in that old TV show in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And Pride and Prejudice.
He's on a bunch of...
He's on a lot
he's
of...
He's in a bunch of really random things. He's
yeah,
on a lot, but nothing like... Not like big roles.
You know, personally, I was personally hoping for Malcolm McDowell. If any of the listeners know him, he's like, right, I mean, he played Alex in A Clockwork Orange, and Alex I do never want to be affiliated with, but I think he's still alive, I'm pretty sure, but at this point in time, he is just an old man with, like, serious white hair, and he's a very, very established actor. When I say established, I mean super established.
Oh, he was in The Italian Job.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's still alive. That's excellent.
Wow, okay. So that's my sister just watched that a couple of days ago. Yeah,
he's a great actor. Popular. He's been in 202 films. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a lot of decades in his backlog.
Yeah.
First film in 1964.
Wow.
He
was really
in Pride and Prejudice.
Yep.
Who was he in that?
Nice.
Mr.
In
Bennett?
What?
Mr. Bennett? He was Mr. Bennett in Pride and Prejudice, which I actually have seen.
Wait, he was Mr. Bennett.
I haven't seen that in a while,
God.
So I don't remember. But
and he was in A Clockwork Orange. Seriously, any listeners that know A Clockwork Orange, you will understand why he is such a great actor.
Yeah, so I hope they write him as an evil guy. I hope he can pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Our next cast choice was... Cinna will be played by Lenny Kravitz.
I'm sorry, listeners.
I think I speak for the majority of the fandom when I say I do not like this cast.
Yeah, I'm.
Well, hold on. Why? Why not? Why? What happened?
He's a singer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like my number one reason, and also he just does not look the part. I mean, they practically look at the description of it, and they say, okay, he has dark hair and dark eyes. Okay, let's think. Lenny Kravitz. Is that, like, the only person they could come up with? There were so many people that could have been so much better.
But, you know, yeah. Right. I've seen some interviews saying, like, why they chose him, and, like, the casting director apparently seems confident that he will deliver, but I didn't know much about it, but...
Well, this is the character this is the character I have the least faith in. I already like the rest of the cast. I'm just gonna let this slide, and you know what? It will work.
But Cinna has such a big role. It will just work.
You know what?
Like, yeah. He's a very crucial character in the whole leading the rebellion. I mean, like, he's the one who came up with the whole Mockingjay idea with, like, her dress and everything, and he kind of led it and directed her. So he's, like, one of the very crucial characters in it, and I don't want him to screw it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fun fact, his daughter, Zoe, was in X-Men First Class with Jennifer Lawrence, so...
What was her character?
She was Angel, the stripper.
Oh, my God. Nice. Well,
great.
Wow, nice.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a little connection right there. But, the next character... Wait, who's playing you?
Amanda Stenberg.
Who the heck is that?
Doesn't matter. She looks the role.
I think she looks fabulous.
She's perfect. She's so adorable.
Yeah, she's very so cute. She looks the role. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at her right now. She looks the part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's been in, like, 3 movies, so...
Yeah, well...
I don't know.
You know what? Yeah, it's it's almost a small role, but she's cute enough where when she dies, even after not knowing her for too long, it will leave an impact. Like, she is pretty much the stereotypical, like, small child.
If there's good character development, then... If we're lucky, half the theater will be crying when she dies.
Well, I'll be crying.
So, basically, Rue looks fine. I mean, it's going to be tough to get an actress that can pull off that the emotional depth of, like, her ending, you know?
It's so sad. I can imagine it, but... yeah. Has anybody seen that thing made by those YouTube people, and there was Rue's death?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was so sad.
I started crying in that, and that it takes a lot for me to cry. And that's...
They do it. Like that in the movie.
That was amazing. It's an amazing, amazing video. So
yeah,
I hope
I've never cried in my life, so I'm pretty much covered on this. Nope. I came out, I was born, I was just like, sup guys.
Of course.
It's all chill, man.
Alright, so for Primrose Everdeen, Katniss's sister, Willow Shields will be playing her. And I think she looks really She looks the part.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I like her.
Yeah, when
I like her.
Yeah, I like her, too. I mean, when I first saw her, I was like, are they going to keep the unibrow? But, but yeah, they shaved
it. I doubt that in District 12 they really care if you have a unibrow, though.
Yeah, still, that's so awkward. I mean,
unless everybody else in her family had a unibrow, it's not really called for.
Yeah, when she's doing her serious scenes, it's going to be like, I cannot stop staring at that hair.
Yeah.
But, how old is she? Let me see.
If they didn't shave it and they continued on to Mockingjay and then you see her die, oh my gosh.
She is 11.
Okay, she's 11, so she's definitely the right age.
She's perfect age. She looks a little older, but she's not.
So the last person we're going to talk about today is the director of the whole darn shibadaddle, and that's Gary Ross, the director of Pleasantville and Seabiscuit. Alex, have you seen any of these films?
I've seen Seabiscuit, not seen Pleasantville, and I've gotta say, Seabiscuit, it's a better film than I thought it would be. I mean, for a film about horse racing, it is exceedingly well done. I mean, the acting is solid, the camera work is amazing. Like, just how they can film, like, horse races and just all what actually happens. Just the cinematography was great. Gary Ross obviously has very great visions in what he does, and he seems like he gets them done exceedingly well. And so, you know what? Gary Ross, Suzanne Collins likes him. I like Seabiscuit. Well, it's not one of my favorite films, but I enjoyed it. And you know what? He seems really motivated for this, and who knows? This will be Gary Ross's, like, huge break. I mean, Seabiscuit is known, but who knows, maybe this will propel Gary Ross to, like, Christopher Nolan or Tim Burton levels.
Yeah. The other film he did, Pleasantville, it got very good reviews, but I think it's interesting that it's about, like, a guy that gets sucked into TV, or something like that. He gets sucked into, like, a TV world, and, like, The Hunger Games is, like, on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa! So, that's amazing, man. Connections.
I also found an article that showed why Gary Ross got the job, because when I first heard about this, I'm like, why did they pick Gary Ross, you know? Like, he's not a very well-known... I mean, he's done some good movies, but, like, you know? But the article says that he flew over to meet the producer, Nina Jacobson, and, like, I'm very happy that he says he's very protective of the book, and he's met with a bunch of students, and they've all said, stick to the story, stick to the heart of it all. And he's a big fan of the books, so I'm very happy about that. One kid mentioned Megan Fox to be Katniss.
Oh no!
Why?
Oh, why? Yes.
Peeta, like, I love you.
I'm guessing it was a teenage boy who recommended that.
Yeah. That would be a boy.
Megan Fox as Katniss and Shia LaBeouf as Peeta. That would
suck.
Oh
my god.
Wow.
Okay.
Megan
Fox would be a boy's dream, but girl's worst nightmare, because the girls want Katniss to look good in the character sense, but the boys want a good looking girl.
It's true.
You also like the character. She just needs to look hot.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, now that we have talked about all our casting decisions, if you have any thoughts on that, please email us at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com. But now we're going to move into a brand new segment today, and that is a chapter chat segment where we'll be going through the chapters of The Hunger Games leading up to the movie, and we're going to be discussing analysis, character arcs, allegories, and everything you can think of. Yep. So today we are going to start off with Hunger Games Chapter Uno, number one.
Yep. So, Chapter One of The Hunger Games. We meet our heroine, Katniss Everdeen, in the greasy seam of District 12, and we learn of her sister Primrose, her mother, and their wonderful, wonderful cat Buttercup, who probably has
one
of the most...
never find out her mom's name, ever.
Never.
Her mom is mentally...
unsound.
Yes.
Really, this sort of sets a mood for the entire book, because not only are we introduced to a mother who really doesn't care about her child or isn't doing her best to protect it, but also, oh my god, the description of Katniss's cat. Like, oh my god, that was putrid. Like, rotten squash. Like, oh god.
I think it's just her perception. Because Buttercup could be a nice, healthy cat, and she just doesn't want to deal anything with it.
Katniss's mom is distant and crazy because of Katniss's father's death in a mining accident. And I thought it was interesting how... have you guys read the Artemis Fowl series?
First couple of books.
It is almost identical. Artemis Fowl's dad leaves, or, like, is gone missing, and his mom goes crazy.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Wait, you're right. Oh my god.
Well,
yeah.
I find this really revealing about Katniss's character, because of this, because of her mom just, like, not being there... she has to grow up so much faster. I mean, all the kids in this team have to grow up really fast, because if they don't, they die. But her especially, because her mom can't provide at all. She's basically, like, another child. Katniss is basically taking her mom's role. And so Katniss is basically having to grow up even more than she would normally had she lived, I don't know, in a higher level of society in District 12 or something.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, if her mom was, like... sane, do you think she would even survive the Hunger Games?
I don't think
so.
Oh,
that's a good point.
Yeah, that's
like
a good point.
Like, maybe if her parents were healthy, she might have been, like, completely pampered. I mean, not completely pampered, but...
yeah.
She might have been pampered enough and, like, maybe just died outright.
Right.
But...
her father was teaching her how to shoot arrows in the woods anyways.
True, yeah, but, before... like, with her mom, if she had, like, a job, there would be some income, and she wouldn't have to, like, fight, but... it sets up her character real well. I mean, we forgot she has to, like, care for Primrose. And also sets up how she will, at the end of the chapter, take... or end of the second chapter, take up Prim's place.
Oh my god.
For the Hunger Games, so.
Right.
Yeah, and also, I think. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't read the Hunger Games, get out.
Or any of the. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. But, don't be a Hunger Games podcast unless you've read the book.
Prim dies!
Yeah, but, what you said about her surviving in the games, it said later in the book that, like, the career tributes, when they took out the. All the food from the cornucopia, they were having a hard time because they hadn't gone without food for a while because they'd grown up pampered and not pampered exactly, but they didn't go hungry for a very long time, and they're used to it though. So I guess like say her mom had been like sane enough to go and like keep working in an apothecary shop or something, then Katniss would probably not be so used to like surviving on an empty stomach all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's a great setup.
So, Katniss heads out to the woods to meet Gale, her best friend in the world, or so it'll seem for just a bit, and goes to meet him to hunt in the woods. And today happens to be Reaping Day, which, if you don't know, because you haven't read the Hunger Games for some reason, is the day that they draw the names of the people who will be participating in the Hunger Games.
Yeah, but they set up so nicely, like, mm-hmm. The first chapter, you don't know what it is until... the end, like, she's like, it's the Reaping Day, I'm so depressed, and you're right. Like, what?
Yeah. And
yeah.
And so...
This first chapter is, I know a lot of people who I've tried to get to read the books, they're like, I didn't really get past the first chapter, because the first chapter is kind of all just information, and mm-hmm. It's really not until, like, the last line of the first chapter that you get drawn in.
Yeah
definitely.
There's so much information that must be conveyed right now. So.
And speaking of interesting information, there's some rather odd foreshadowing. When Gale and Katniss eat bakery bread, possibly symbolic of PETA, Katniss says, "Fine bread like this is for special occasions." And Suzanne Collins lingers on the bread for a while, possibly to hint that Katniss will be with PETA at the end. I mean, it is interesting that they break up the baker's bread very, very blatantly.
I was reading this chapter, and then Collins writes, like, a whole paragraph on the frickin' bread. She's like, the bread was so soft. Katniss admired the bread.
Yes,
I'm like,
it was nice golden color.
Holy crap. I think PETA...
I think that she lingered on it so much, not necessarily as foreshadowing to PETA. I mean, I can see that, but not really. But I think just to show how, like, food is so...
rare.
Yeah, rare. Especially, like, bread... that's, like, fresh is especially rare. So, I think that's more why they're spending so much time on it.
Yeah, probably.
Right. Well, it could mean both. I mean, authors are known to do that.
Or it could be nothing. It could just be overanalyzing.
Yeah, it could be nothing.
Isn't that the point of a podcast?
Yeah, though? That's our point. We're supposed to overanalyze anything.
We will analyze this thing to death.
Yep. So, Gale has the idea to run away, and also mentions maybe wanting to have kids with Katniss. Both of which Katniss is annoyed at the ideas of, and frankly, I can't blame her. I don't really like Liam Hemsworth either.
Well, and did he say specifically him and Katniss having kids?
Yeah, he just said he wanted kids.
Well, come on, you're kind of just talking with a girl like, yeah, let's run away. Also, I want to have kids.
Not you.
But not with you.
Oh, by the way.
And this is also, this could also be taken as possible foreshadowing that the two will never get along.
This is like the root. Like I don't know why they're best friends, just for survival probably. But they're always butting heads. Like Gale, I don't know about you guys, but when I first read the books, he just rubs the wrong way. Like he's so annoying and angry all the time.
They make it work.
Yeah,
that's dumb.
Yeah, I mean,
but they're not really opposites. They're like the same person, just Gale is just more personified with his anger. PETA and Katniss are more opposites.
Yeah.
So.
What I like about the Hunger Games is that it's very realistic. I mean, and obviously, I don't mean in the way that, like, not many books are realistic, but when the whole, like, when I was a fan before Mockingjay came out, and of course, before that came out, there were all the debates about Team PETA versus Team Gale, which I think is kind of stupid.
Quite.
But I was kind of like, I'm just going to go with what happens. And, like, it would have been unrealistic for her to end up with Gale. Mm-hmm. Because, think about it, I mean, in an ideal world, the Hunger Games wouldn't have ever existed, and she probably would have ended up with Gale. but that doesn't happen. So it's very realistic in the way that that's what the played out to be. So kind of it's just like, if I would have been okay with them as a couple, but you know, I was just kind of like, whatever happens, happens. And it's not like some sort of, like, Suzanne Collins doesn't water it all down for us, but she's like, this is what's going to happen under the circumstances, this is what happens.
Yeah, right. About the whole love triangle thing, I mean,
stupid.
Yeah, but I hope they don't play it up in the movie.
Please,
oh, they
no.
will, for sure.
No,
they will, but, I mean, I don't know, I, like, people, when I first heard this, people are like, there's a love triangle, I'm like, this better not be, like, the next Twilight.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they don't, it's not, like, played up so much. It's just, you know.
It's kind of just there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I have guy friends who want to, like, read the books, they're like, it's not like Twilight. It is. I'm like, no, there is romance, but it's, like, it takes the back burner. It's not, like, the most important thing in the series. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't mind if there was a little tiny bit more romance, but, you know, it's, either way, you know, it's not, like, the most important thing in the series, which I like.
So moving on.
Yes, so anyways, so then we meet Madge Undersea, the mayor's daughter, and we see her gold Mockingjay pin. Foreshadowing!
Yay!
So, and not, she's not going to be in the movie.
Can...
yeah, how is she...
See, I don't mind, because... I don't know, but...
Maybe the mayor
here's
will
thing
just
that
be
can,
like, take the pin. Okay.
I never understood why she was one to give... Katniss the pin, though. Why?
Yeah, I don't understand her character. I don't see why she's even in the book. Like, when she was introduced, I'm like, okay, she's gonna come back in the end and do something, but she never comes back, does she?
You know what I thought? And this is going back to the whole love triangle thing, but I was a complete Gale Madge shipper. I wanted them to get together.
Madge shipper.
What? So would that be male or something like that? Or, I'm trying to think of, like, cute, lovey-dovey
no,
male.
No.
Male, or,
No,
Gadge.
It would be Gadge.
It would be Gadget.
No, it would be Gadge, because the first letter is always the boy's name.
Not always.
I don't know the rules.
I didn't know the rules either.
Okay.
Yeah, I never really understood her character, like,
yeah,
why
she has
she
no
was
role.
Yeah.
So.
I wish she did more.
I wonder... I wish that Suzanne Collins would, I don't know, reveal in an interview or a, I don't know, if there's ever a Hunger Games encyclopedia released, reveal more about
podcast.
Her, but reveal, like, her backstory or something to why she may have done this, because you never really figure out why.
Yeah.
But I think in the movie it would be kind of weird, because everybody knows of Madge giving her the pin, and you just want to see that scene, because that sets the whole thing, everything, the Mockingjay, etc. And then when you see somebody else give it to her, you'd be like,
oh, dang.
Who do you think they're going to have give it to her?
I think they said...
Like her mom or something?
No, I think...
Or Gale, or...
Maybe it could just be the mayor. Yeah, the random mayor.
They said it was
going to
be somebody.
Well, that's helpful.
That helps us.
Yeah, it does, really. I remember they had written an article on Mockingjay, and it was like... They said the magic was going to be in the movie, and that somebody else was going to give her the pick.
Okay, we'll find out.
Yeah. Well,
take care of our
son.
Peeta's
dad gives her a bunch of cookies.
Yeah, I think it might have been, I think they said it was going to be Peeta's dad, something like that. Somebody of less importance to give it to her.
Huh. Anyway, move on.
Yeah, moving on. Let's move it along.
Yep, moving around along. All right, so we learn about the reaping system and putting your name in for more tessery. And so Katniss has her name in 20 times, and Gale has his name in a whopping 42 times. So, jeez. So
just demonstrates the injustice of the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh well. Sucks for them.
Oh
sucks God. For Gale.
So, the reaping begins.
You guys hate him so much.
So, the reaping begins when we get a brief overview of Panem's history and the obliteration of District 13. So, did you guys actually think that District 13 was really important at this point?
Yes.
No.
I mean, yeah.
I totally called it. I'm like, District 13 was, like, lost. I'm like, we are totally going to revisit that. It's going to come back. And it did.
Yeah, it was definitely very foreshadowed. But
I browsed by. I didn't really give much thought to it until, I think it wasn't until, like, Catching Fire that I really was like, oh, this might actually be... significant, and I really liked the theory that was circulating that Katniss's dad was actually in there.
Right, I liked the idea. That was awesome.
13. I liked that theory. I was sad that it was squashed.
Yeah,
but did you guys fun to dream?
Did you guys also connect this with the 13 colonies of America under Britain's tyrannical reign? By the way, hi British audiences, we still love you.
Yeah, but it's very allegorical to
but
that.
If we connected with that, what state would have been like wiped off the map? I'm hoping Joyzy, but
Connecticut, because.
Or, oh yes, you just love your home state. No, or, I don't know. I hate the Yankees. So get rid of New York. I don't know.
Like, I love New York.
I'm sorry. I'm a Red Sox fan.
So nice allegory there to 13 colonies.
Yep. So the Hunger Games are described, and you learn that two tributes from each district is put in a ring to or an arena to fight to the death on live television. So the winner gets a ton of food for their district and fame and fortune. The Hunger Games are very similar to the gladiators of ancient Rome. It shows that even though Panem is futuristic with futuristic technologies and supposedly a utopia, they have resorted back to the barbaric and ancient forms of punishment slash torture slash entertainment. And it is weird seeing how really this really does have real-world implications. It is disturbing to see, as much as we like to call ourselves civilized, inside of all of us are animals that just want to destroy. And we see that every day. We see the people. We see the people who decide to shoot up a bank. We see the people who just don't want to listen to society. We see the wars that are happening, and we may not realize it, but this hits really close to home in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I really like The Hunger Games. Because of the subtext.
Definitely.
Here. I mean, when I first read it, I'm just like, oh, this is an awesome story. But overanalyzing this, this has so much real-world implications. It is not even funny.
Not even overanalyzing. I mean, if you look at the entertainment, especially the entertainment aspect of... Look at reality TV, quote, reality TV. Hardly anything is real anymore.
Right.
But it's like some of the things people do on TV, and you're just like, most of the time you think, oh, well, this is just fake. But wasn't there, I think it was a while ago, there was a video of a woman actually dying that was broadcast, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I was surprised that not many people had that big of a deal with it. And this wasn't acting, she actually died on film. Not on film, but it was on TV. And I was surprised, I think she was in Saudi Arabia, I think she was being stoned or something. I'm sorry, I don't remember all the details. But I was surprised that not many people made that big of a fuss over it, because we've gotten so
desensitized.
Yeah, yes. Desensitized to violence by just like TV and movies and video games and what have you, that when it's actually happening, we don't care as much as we really should.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I really hope the movie confronts this. Like, there's a lot of movies that sort of like look at how violent you are and just sort of like stand back and take a look, like RoboCop or Starship Troopers. And I really hope The Hunger Games is something that really exploits the violence. Not because I'm a fan of horror movies, but because I just want to see them exploit it. And to just have us sitting in the audience just really uncomfortable and really having to face what we find entertaining. Because as much as we love this series, this concept, really, we shouldn't like this. This is killing other human beings. And just the fact that we're fans of this shows how messed up society is. And I really want the movie just to come back and slap us in the face with that.
Yeah, the social commentary about, like, violence and reality TV is definitely there.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how this is going to hold up for, like, other generations. I mean, hopefully reality television will have fallen out of, you know, being popular, but by the looks of it, what we see now is only going to perpetuate farther, and hopefully this message will still ring true and still be relevant. I mean, I know many years from now, Harry Potter is still going to be relevant. It still touches on many real-world themes. Same thing with, like, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, all the other classics.
Oh. I wouldn't say that being fans of the books means that that's, like, a problem, that we're fans of the books. I have a problem with fans of the books who, like, I have a couple friends I won't name, but I point out to them, this is such a parallel to our society. I mean, look at this and this and this, and I point out all these parallels that ring so close to home for me. And they're like, no, 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 it's not like that. Are you serious? No, that's not it at all. And that's
just like, shut up, Lena.
And this is why you're on the podcast.
That's what I see is wrong. I mean, it's so obvious. Sometimes, if you point it out to people, if they don't see it as a parallel to our society, that's when I see it as wrong. If people don't notice how how totally, what am I trying to say? Kind of like...
messed up it is.
Yeah. When they just see it as a good concept, but nothing more than that. That's when I see it as a wrong thing. When people don't see past it.
Yeah. So, I also think it's fascinating how Panem is set far, far in the future, and yet they've completely digressed into, like, barbaric, like, ancient Rome, like, fights. It's just, like, how do they go from, you know?
Yeah, like, well, we do have to remember that ancient Rome...
human nature.
Well, we still
human
do
nature
have,
just falls back to that.
Yeah, although we still do have to remember that ancient Rome was the pinnacle of human civilization.
Sure, but...
true, but
wait,
it was...
pinnacle? What, aren't we the pinnacle? Mm.
Well, we're the pinnacle technologically, but in terms of, like, what they created in their time with their resources,
yeah,
they really
okay.
have done a lot more than us. We
that's
strive
true,
to
but...
be like ancient Rome, but if this is how we are, if this is how we achieve ancient Rome, then I prefer to stay in the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
True. Not the Dark Ages were that great either.
Right. So, moving on.
So enough history.
So, we're introduced to pink-haired Effie Trinket, and the drunk former Hunger Games winner, Haymitch Abernathy! Yay! So, what were your first impressions of Haymitch, and why do you think he fell to a drink?
Haymitch is my absolute favorite character, let me just say. He is a drunk son of a gun. He is the best thing ever.
Oh my god.
I was laughing out loud when I first heard, like, saw this chapter. I'm just like... yes.
Well, I was kind of laughing how Suzanne Collins like described it as like molesting Effie Trinket.
Yes.
I was just reading that in like sixth grade, going, "Huh?"
it's actually a good word to fit it, not in like the sexual way, but just in a
is there a
non-sexual
way of saying molesting? Really?
Well, Haymitch like just hugged her, and she's just like harassed her.
I didn't see it as that. I just saw it as a more, I don't know. A
drunk.
Not necessarily like a sexual version of that word, but a kind of different word that just like, I don't know. But when I first read about him, I was like, oh god, they're so screwed if he's supposed to be their mentor.
Honestly, when I first heard of Haymitch, I read it and I'm like, oh please don't tell me he's going to be a main character. Please don't tell me he's going to be a main character. Oh crap, he's a main character.
Yeah, you don't really know how important he is until later on.
Right.
Because I didn't even know PETA was important until later on, but I enjoy reading him.
I thought, when I first read Haymitch, I thought he was this literally really, really, really old guy in his 70s, and he had, no hair, and was hunched over with a cane.
Yeah, you know, actually, I fit everything of, like, the picturing into, I'm not sure if you guys have seen or watched the movie for, City of Ember, but there's also, like,
God.
A guy and a girl, and there's a drunk guy, the drunk mayor. I pictured... Haymitch is Bill Murray.
Well, I'm trying to find the guy who I imagined as Haymitch.
I pictured Hugh Laurie as Haymitch.
He was in the
off
first...
off the bat, I pictured him.
Greg Grunberg. He was in Heroes as the guy who I... actually, what could he do? Anyways, I haven't seen Heroes in a while. But
I like this question, that why do you think that he fell to be just drunk all of the time? And we don't figure it out now, but in Catching Fire, you see the backstory of how he won the games, and basically he cheated the Capitol, in a way.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, you drink to forget.
Yeah, and we also figure out in Mockingjay how Finnick's backstory, he basically, once you win the games, you really are not free from them. You're always living them. You're always going to be... under the scrutinous eye of the Capitol,
which
and you
is
never
an,
get away from
which
them.
Which is another way this ties into modern relevancy. Look at, like, modern-day celebrities, or reality television show winners. You win it, and then suddenly you're in the, pop culture eye, and if you mess up, it's huge, but you're just constantly being viewed under the microscope.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's also mixing in not only the celebrity aspect, but, like, war. When you go to war, you're, like, haunted by the stress... Mm-hmm. Post-traumatic stress disorder, all that. So it's like
kinda
both
like
those.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just gonna say it's both the symptoms of those both cases combined, because like war on TV.
Right.
Yeah, and kind of like the veterans from the Vietnam War. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands. I don't know how many.
Sure.
Still alive today that are now like mentally ill because they've had so many problems because there's memories in their past in the war, and, you know, we still see that today.
Right.
And, yeah, I like that. And it's not only that, but also just, like, you know, being under the eye of the Capitol.
Yep.
So, let's finish this up. So, Effie reaches into her big old bowl of girls' names, plucks a single piece of paper out, opens it, and reads Primrose Everdeen's name. Dun, dun, dun.
I did not expect that at all.
Yeah.
When I read this, I'm like, somebody rigged the system, and the book's going to be about, like, figuring out why or something. But
right. Well,
how is that possible? One out of, like, how many ever...
Well,
yeah.
You know what?
Thousands.
There's a very simple answer to this. It's called plot device. That is all.
Well,
it is.
Yeah, but
I was expecting her to pull Katniss's name because, you know, the whole book is about the Hunger Games, and it's from Katniss's perspective.
Right. I mean, you cannot doubt that Katniss is not going to be the Hunger Games. It's told on the still on the back cover, but still, I mean, it was just. I didn't expect it to be Prim. I did expect it to maybe. But I didn't think it was going to be Katniss. I don't know who I really thought it was going to be. I mean, you know what? You just kind of have to accept it for the sake of the story. Just having Katniss's
sure,
name called
but...
out on her own. It's like, well, that was pretty anticlimactic. But
yeah. That right here, this last sentence, like, really hooks you in.
Yeah. That's where you get really into the book.
Yeah,
and from then on, you, like, can't put it down for... Till basically you put down Mockingjay, pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. It just gets you sucked in. And...
It's kind of like a Deus Ex Machina. I'm using my English terms. Yay!
Oh, yeah.
And it's
Deus Ex Machina.
The author is God, and that's the person that makes everything happen. So that she, like, whatever. I can't think of what I'm saying anymore.
Well, yeah.
No. But you get what I mean, yeah. So...
Yeah, the author has complete control over everything. So.
Well, I mean, do you guys think it was rigged, or do you think it was just coincidence?
Coincidence. It has to be.
It must have been fate, destiny.
Yeah.
They could not have gone, you know what, I kind of want Katniss Everdeen in the Hunger Games. She seems mentally unstable enough to cause a rebellion.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, what other reason would they have for drawing Prim's name? I mean, they could have, like, the only thing I could think of is, like, maybe her dad or something had some sort of, I mean...
Well, still, that's a few years too late.
I probably would have thought it may have had something to do with her dad or something when I still thought that he was in District 13, but
right.
Obviously not.
Well, I mean, yeah. Katniss has been of age for the Hunger Games for several years now. They could have taken revenge on her the moment she turned 11, but they didn't.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where Chapter 1 leaves off, and that concludes our show for tonight.
So, to stay in touch with the show, you can go to our website, rebellionradiopodcast.com, where you can find links to subscribe to our iTunes feed, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can email us at comments@rebellionradiopodcast.com.
And please send us your feedback. We need information.
Please. We need every single listener to email in and tell us what we can do to improve, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong.
You can tell Alex to stop making obscure movie references.
Yeah, and if you haven't, if you found us some other way, please rate us on iTunes. It really helps us with... publicity and whatnot.
Because as much as we love and as much as we enjoy talking to the same five listeners, you know, for all summer and stuff, yeah, we need other people.
Yeah, so iTunes will greatly help us. So with that, thanks everyone for listening. My name is Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Bulba.
I'm Lorena Thomas.
And I'm April Grishanti.
And we'll see you next time for episode 3.
Yes,
I'm sorry. I've been too busy staring at the magazine thing of Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh my god! Like, I'm afraid to know what you're doing with that.
Not Victoria's Secret. Oh, come on. All right, guys, come on.
Wow.
April, have you killed the ant? Hurry up!
As if this podcast.
Just let the poor thing live.
Let it.
It's
how many? Yeah, kill them fast.
Come on, you got a podcast.
I have to eat dinner.
Mm.
Neither do I, but... I would understand if it's a mosquito, but...
Yeah, I know, like mosquito bugs or something.
Okay, oh, how I love to live in Virginia.
What are you doing to them? Stapling them?
Die!
First.
I know, right?
Oh, God. God, God, God. Alright, screw chapter chat. Do you guys want to keep doing this? Or is April going to do this all night?
April, hurry up!
There's one stupid leader that won't die who's annoying me.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm done. I don't like bugs, they freak me out. Okay.
Sit down, calm down. Breathe. Okay. Is your heart rate lowering?
I don't know. Yes. I don't pay
breathe
attention.
Okay.
Alright. Everyone calm.
That was quite entertaining, I must admit.
Let us start the Hunger Games Chapter 1. And we'll see you next time for episode 2. Bye bye.
Wait, three. Two? Three.
Oh,
three.
Sorry.
So close.
Just say, and we'll see you next time for episode 3.
And we'll see. Okay.
Step 3. I dagger you on the dance floor. Just bounce, 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 bounce. Now all the ladies say it. Bounce, 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 bounce. What do you say?
I'm out.
Why?
I hate that guy.
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 Why?
I hate that guy.